On episode 122 of TritonCast, we're chatting with Big West Freshman of the Year Ava Tybor from women's soccer. She had a long road to get to this point, working her way back from three knee surgeries. We'll walk through her journey, the recovery, and how her love for the sport is helping to train future stars. Plus, we'll put Ava through the ringer with the return of our popular Quick Pick segment. You won't want to miss it. UC San Diego Soccer's Ava Tybor is in the Triton spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 122 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. No matter whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's spotlight, let's go around campus. Men's basketball is off to a 4-0 start, and junior Leo Beath was named Big West Player of the Week. And while some teams' seasons wind down, others are just getting going. The track and field spring schedule is now posted on ucsdtritons.com. And this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are Ava Belke from women's swimming and Hunter Zahelnik from men's swimming. Congrats to those two. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. This week, it's a story of perseverance and dedication, hard work, and payoff. Here's the spotlight with women's soccer's Ava Tybor. Ava, how old were you when you started playing soccer?
I was 4 years old.
And were you playing other sports, or why soccer at that time?
Just soccer. No, I think my parents just wanted to put me in a sport, and they just started with soccer. And I think if I didn't like soccer, they would have tried like basketball and then softball, but soccer just clicked right away.
So that was really it? There really wasn't anything else?
No, I mean, I did ballet for a little bit, but that doesn't count.
I mean, it counts in that it's effort.
Yeah, I feel like that was just the normal, like, I feel like a lot of girls do like tap or dance or ballet at first, but soccer was the real first sport.
Do you remember being a little tyke and running around out there on the field?
Yeah, I honestly do, because my dad coached my rec team all the way up until I joined club. So I remember, and my mom was always a team mom. My mom would always like make the jerseys and put the names on the back and make the team ribbons. And I remember like when halftime, when you'd have like the snack boxes and after the games, I honestly remember a lot of rec soccer growing up.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive. So what was in these snack boxes?
Oh my gosh. Well, at halftime, it was supposed to be like healthy stuff, like oranges, Gatorade, just like sugar stuff. But then after, it was like cookies and Oreos. So win or lose, you got a snack box.
Right. I guess the results didn't really matter so much at that point.
Yeah, not at all. It was all fun.
As you grew up, were you playing with the same girls, generally speaking, or was it, how did that work?
Yeah, because it was rec soccer, you would have to form a team. And so they were pretty much all girls that went to my school, and we would carpool every day after. And my dad was the coach. So it was like anyone that we were friends with, my dad's like, oh, join my daughter's team.
And were you, because you were a coach's daughter, was it a little more rough for you in terms of the demands?
Yes. Yes. Everybody else was out there having a good time. And so was I. But, you know, my dad had higher expectations for me. So every time after, we would talk about it in the car. And I think that's ultimately what led me to play club soccer. My dad recognized that I wanted something more serious, and he pushed me to be the player I am today.
When did you get serious about it?
I joined club at 11 years old, which is definitely on the later end. Like when I joined, I was very far behind from all the other girls that were already in club, just because they had started playing at like 7 years old. But yeah, I joined club at 11.
And as an 11-year-old who was behind and new to club, were you coordinated at that point? Like, did you know what you were doing? Were you good?
No. And I remember like one of the worst memories is when I first joined in rec soccer, it was just like my dad and like his tactics. But then in club soccer, they use like the number system that we know now, where all the positions have numbers. And I didn't know any of these. So the coach would be like, oh, go play the 9, go play the 11. And I would have no idea what that meant at all. And like another thing is the club that I was at used different numbers than numbers that I think like US Soccer Foundation uses. So it was extra confusing. Like I wanted to learn the numbers, but there was no way to learn them. Like you had to be kind of in the loop with the club already. And I wasn't.
Did you know any of your club teammates?
No. When I joined, it was all a fresh start.
And was that intimidating for you?
Yes, it was extra intimidating because I was coming off of like you know, playing in rec, and I didn't really know how to like use my left foot, or I just didn't really know anything. And all these girls had been training since with the club since they were 11. So they were just a lot better technically. They understood the game better.
So how did you catch up? How did you get on equal footing with your teammates?
Well, first I was on the B team, and I was on the B team for a year, and it was like a good transition from rec to club. And I wanted to make the A team, obviously, but I tried out, I didn't make the A team. So, and I didn't think I was ever going to get moved up to the A team from my original club at LAFC. So I actually left and went to a different club, and I just got so lucky. I met this one coach that we were horrible, but he just took me and just explained, like, he did all my development, developing, like, he taught me the whole game, everything. And then when I came back to my club within the year, I made the A team.
Wow, that's incredible. Were you, when you were on the B team and tried out for the A team, didn't make it, how did you keep from getting discouraged? How did you stick with it?
Oh, I was super discouraged. I remember because I was like kind of in that phase where I was like practicing with the A team. So I knew a lot of the A team girls, and a lot of us like went to middle school together. And so like not making it was really sad. And then also having to like leave clubs and no longer be with like my B team friends was also sad. But, you know, time changes. And then when I was with at my new club and when I learned everything, I like remember coming to tryouts and I just felt so much more confident. Like before I had no confidence, and then coming back and then making the A team, felt like a whole new person.
How did you channel that confidence into productivity as opposed to cockiness that might have maybe turned off your new A team teammates?
Well, like I had made the A team, but I definitely was no stellar player on the A team. I still had a lot of like growing to do. So I was still like, I would say like bottom third of the team, but just with a lot more confidence, and a lot more confidence that because I caught up to the A team girls, I knew that I could continue to get better. Like this was only my second year playing club, and I'd already like gone so much better. So I used that to my advantage.
And as you moved into high school, it sounds like at this point you were pretty serious about it. Was there a point where you decided that you wanted to pursue playing soccer collegiately?
Yes. Once I got to club, I didn't even know that I could use soccer to like get into college or even play college soccer. But I met a lot of the older girls who were going through their recruiting processes, and women's soccer recruits pretty early. So like, even though these girls were like only a couple years older than me, they were already going through the recruiting process, and like hearing their stories and watching their games. And, you know, cause club, you know, every age group plays after each other. So like right before us, the oldest age group would play, and I like just fell in love and I wanted to be these girls. So that's when I knew, I was like, I want to go to college. Like these girls are going to college.
Women's soccer is an early sport in terms of recruiting. Did you feel pressure going through the recruiting process?
Yes and no. I had a really different recruiting process than some people. I committed really early. I committed to the school at 15 years old. So my recruiting process was short, but I do remember pressure that it had to be started right away. Like I knew I couldn't wait till my junior or senior year to get on it.
And why UC San Diego for you?
Well, for me, I think like a lot of people ask me like, why did you decide on UC San Diego? And like, I would put decision in air quotes. Like I was definitely influenced by my parents heavily. And I'm so thankful for that, because my club coaches, they really wanted me to go to like a big P4 school or like a big football school. And it was my dad who was really like keen on pushing go to a school for your education. And then another thing is I knew I didn't want to leave California. So my list was very short, and not even just California. Like I knew I wanted to stay in like Southern California. I didn't want to go to Northern California. So my list was short. And then when I talked to Trent and Jonesy on the phone, and I had heard from like other people about this program, I knew it was the one for me.
When was the first time you stepped foot on this campus?
The first time I stepped foot on this campus was after I had already committed, just with my parents. I mean, the COVID thing made it a little bit weird for sure, but I never had an official visit here, but I'd always like once I committed, we came to a lot of games, my family and I, cause it's not too far away. And we would always stay the night, and we'd use the spin scooters around campus, and we'd go explore the campus ourselves.
So your family, your parents are campus experts by now geographically.
Oh yeah. My dad knows the whole campus.
Well, maybe he can teach the rest of us sometimes. This place is huge.
I know. And it's only getting bigger.
Yeah. So you committed as a 15-year-old, having never been on campus. Was there a time after you had committed before you got here as a freshman? Was there any point where you questioned that or wondered, you know, I just made a huge decision. How do I know it's the right one?
Yeah, I think right after I was like, what if something changes along the way? What if I feel differently because I was so young? But then actually the opposite thing happened to me because I got injured right after. And I remember the first time I tore my ACL, I had to call Jonesy and of course like inform her what happened. And when I called her, she was super supportive. And she's like, don't worry, you have a year to rehab before you get here. And I was like, okay. And then the second time when it happened, I had to call her again. And I was just so nervous because now I was going to come in being injured. Like I wasn't going to have time to rehab before I got here. And she was still so supportive. Like I remember she said like, Ava, like tearing your ACL sucks, but it really sucks to tear it again. And I was like, okay, thank you, Jonesy. But she was like, just keep working hard. Like we're still so excited to have you here. And I remember thinking like if this was any other program or any other coach, they really didn't have to honor a verbal commitment or anything coming in injured. And I'm so thankful that they never lost faith in me because had I not committed to UC San Diego, you know, something I got injured, some other school could have dropped me and I would have had no way to catch up, you know, being injured my whole high school experience. Like I wouldn't have any film or anything as I got older.
We're chatting with Ava Tybor, Triton Women's Soccer on TritonCast this week. So take us through that first ACL tear. How did it happen and what was the experience like?
It was actually in San Diego. We were playing a local San Diego team. And I literally just took what seemed to be a normal step. Maybe looking back, I could have like decelerated in like one or two more steps, but I kind of just took like a hard cut. And I felt and I heard a humongous pop in my knee. And it was so loud that the ref stopped the game because he was right next to me because he heard it. And watching the VO back on the sideline, like the thing that records our games, the other coach was like, oh, that's an ACL. And I didn't know anything about the injury. Like I'd seen some older girls go through it and I just knew it was so long. It was a year out. So I was just devastated. And I remember it, like I went off to the side and I could walk off the field. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm not injured. I was just being dramatic because I don't know. I thought it was going to be this horrible thing. And I was honestly ready to go back in the game. But then like once the adrenaline kind of wore out and I was in the car and it was a really long car ride home from San Diego, I was like, something's not right. And that's when I went to go get the MRI and they told me that I had torn my ACL and my meniscus. And I just remember crying because I knew it was a whole 12 months of rehabbing.
How quickly did you have the surgery after that injury?
I got my surgery like 3 weeks after, which was very clutch because the waiting list for an ACL surgery is like 6 months because it's obviously not very like, you know, you don't need to get it immediately. But one of my high school friends, his dad actually happened to be the head of orthopedics at Kaiser. So both times I got in with like 3 weeks, which is the recommended time because you want to have full range of motion, which you lose when you do tear it. So like during those 3 weeks, I had to do all the prehab and stuff, but going into surgery, I was strong.
So you have the surgery and you know that you have this very long road ahead. What was that like for you mentally working through that?
Well, the first time I was like, I don't even know. It's so hard to think. Like, I just remember crying so much, but then like something shifted and I was like, okay, Jonesy's right. I have a whole year. Like I'm going to attack this. I'm going to come back stronger. But I didn't know anything about the injury. I didn't know what to do at all. So it was definitely a really tough time. Like the first one compared to the second one was night and day difference for me.
So when you were injured the first time, you had the surgery, you're working your way back. Was it ever in the back of your mind that this could possibly happen again?
Yes. I just didn't think that would happen to someone like me. I don't know why. I feel like I'm lucky. And I was like, okay, it's not going to happen again. If anything, I thought it would maybe happen to my other knee. Cause that's usually the trend, is that you overcompensate and your other knee gets hurt. But I never imagined I'd tear my same ACL again.
That's unbelievable. And when you're rehabbing the first time,
it's about a year, as you said, before you're back in playing again. What was it like the first time you played competitively after that first tear?
It was, well, okay. The thing is like right when I got back into playing, I tore it again. So my first time playing competitively, honestly, I would say was when I tore it again, because I played here and there pickups because club season had just ended. So we were going into high school and high school isn't as competitive. So my club coach, I trained with like younger boys. So like that was competitive. But then when my first competitive training back was like a pickup with college and pro soccer players. And that's actually when I tore it again. So it was short lived. It was very short lived.
Did you know right away the second time?
No, not at all. Honestly, when I say like my first and my second injury were night and day difference, my first one, after surgery, you're in pain, but eventually that goes away. However, in my case, it never went away. Like after surgery, all the way through the year that I was rehabbing, I always had some lingering knee pain. Like it would click, it would pop. And I would tell my surgeons and I would tell the doctors and my physical therapist, and they'd be like, oh, well, you had surgery and this is normal. And like you have a new knee and you're doing things you haven't done in a long time. And that made sense to me. And I was like, wow, I have a lot of respect for people that have gone through this injury. Like, I didn't realize people live like this after. But then when I tore it the second time and I had a whole different rehab process, I was like, wow, that pain that I was experiencing the first time wasn't how it was supposed to be. So I do think that there were some errors in my first rehab. And because also the way I tore it the second time, I was kind of like jogging and I just turned, which isn't really a way that you tear an ACL. So something kind of leads me to believe, I mean, I'll never know for sure, that something was already wrong and it was already probably partially torn. And when I was opening up and I jogged, I just kind of fully tore it.
Wow. When it happened the second time, what were those emotions like? I can't even imagine.
Well, when it happened the second time, I was at pickups playing. And like I said, it was very like uncanny the way that you would tear an ACL. So I kind of went down and I called my parents and I was like, well, you know, my knee hurts. And I kind of heard like a little click, but like I can still walk and I can still jog and I'm not really in pain. And I was like, I can drive home. So I drove home and I remember sitting on the couch with them and they were like, Ava, like you're never going to be able to come back. If every time you play, you're going to be nervous. And they were like my biggest haters. Like my mom was like, we don't want to get an MRI. Like you need to be mentally stronger. Like you're fine. Like, look, you're walking. So like for like a week, I kind of was just getting a lot of like outside opinions and I was like jogging and running and I'd shown people and they're like, yeah, you probably just sprained it. And they were saying the same thing that my parents were saying, you know, like you can get an MRI. It's just, you're going to have to pay out of pocket. And like, you know, cause you don't want to go through Kaiser if you don't really think it's torn. And I was just like, no, there's just something wrong. So when I did get the MRI and I did have this, a little bit weirdly was like relief, like, see, I know my body, I know that this is right. But then I was just devastated. And that's when it like really hit that, oh my gosh, maybe I'm not gonna recover from this. Like maybe I'm not gonna be able to play soccer again. Whereas the first time I felt a lot of like faith and hope, but the second time I was like, oh my gosh, this is terrible.
Yeah, it is. And how did you ultimately work through that and decide to commit to the rehab knowing that you had a tough road ahead? You said you had to call Jonesy. I want to ask you about that too. What was that conversation like? I can't even imagine what your thoughts were while the phone was ringing.
Yeah, I was so scared. My dad was like telling me to stop crying and to be tough, but I was literally crying on the phone to her and I expected her to just be very upset with me. Even I thought, I also had like feelings like maybe she thought that maybe I wasn't taking my recovery seriously. And when I tell you, it was literally like a 5-minute conversation and it was her just reassuring me. And I felt like I had let her down and like the team down, because I was supposed to come in as a freshman in, you know, my actual freshman year and make an impact. And now I wasn't even going to play. And I know she had a lot of hope in me. So, but when I called her, she was literally like, it's okay, Ava. We're still super excited to have you. You know, just keep attacking your rehab. Like, text us, update us, let us know when you get your surgery. And she texted me after surgery and she texted me throughout that whole year. Like, she never forgot about me or like lost faith in me. But I remember being so nervous to call her. I did not want to call her. And my dad was like, you're calling her right now. Like right when I got the MRI back.
As far as the actual rehab process, did you do anything differently the second time?
Yes, I had a completely different strength coach And he was the best. He did my whole rehab 3 times a week for, I would say, 8 months before I came here. And it was different because he incorporated a lot of like more athletic movements. I think the first physical therapy place I went to was more just like physical therapy. Like there's older people there too. So it was just kind of like a more standard physical therapy. But this one was like a standard. This one was physical therapy for athletes. And it was just him. And he watched every single thing I do. And oh my gosh, I almost forgot about this. This is the craziest part. He put me on a very strict diet. For the first 6 months of my recovery, there was no sugar to reduce inflammation, no bread, nothing from a box or a wrapper, so nothing processed. And so like the only thing I ate that was sweet was like fruit. And I had to be getting in a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of water, 8 hours of sleep every night. And these were non-negotiables. He gave me a huge ice machine that did like my whole leg. I had to do stim every day. And he told me, he was like, the second you don't do one of these things, I'm dropping you. Even though I was the one paying him for my rehab. And he was very tough and he pushed me. I remember the very first day that I got to physical therapy from surgery. I was actually about to pass out and he was like, yep, this is how it's going to be. And I was like, oh my gosh, but he made all the difference.
Wow. I can't even fathom some of those changes you were required to make.
The no sugar really did it for me because I have a huge sweet tooth. So that was really tough.
Were you able to now ease back on that a little bit?
Yes.
Okay, good.
For sure. But I don't know. Thinking of myself now, I don't know how I did that.
Yeah, it's amazing what we're all capable of when we're put in a situation that we weren't expecting and you got to figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm. And I remember in the moment, it was hard, but it was so worth it. Like even at school when I could have like cheated or, you know, had something from the cafeteria, like I remember being like, no, like I want to make sure I do everything perfect so I have no regrets when I go in and, you know, God forbid I get hurt again, I'm not going to feel like any of it was my fault.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. So you get to campus as a freshman knowing you're not going to play at all, right? Because obviously you're in the rehab process. What was it like adjusting to college and then also adjusting to your new teammates, but knowing that you couldn't be out there on the pitch helping?
Yeah, I would say my favorite thing about UC San Diego and the quarter system is the summer before, because it was like a really good opportunity for me to get in the groove of things before school started. And I remember like preseason and summer, you know, it's so easy to meet the team and to like explore San Diego without the school, but it was really hard to sit out because even though the team does a great job of including injured players and the coaches too, you still feel like a part of you is missing in a team. You don't really feel as connected. But the medical staff and the coaches are great here. So they kept me involved every step of the way. They like integrated me back into things pretty quickly.
When you got to the spring and were finally able to participate, what were those emotions like stepping out there, even though the games themselves didn't count, but you were still part of the team being on the pitch in college?
Yeah, I was so excited. I remember just being so excited to play my first game and yeah, I don't even know. I was just so excited.
Were there nerves? I mean, you know, that you might step wrong or do something again?
Honestly, no. Because I'd been practicing for like, I think a couple months now. I was just nervous that I was going to play really bad. And thankfully, like I talked to Jonesy a lot and she assured me like, yeah, she honestly told me like, yeah, you are going to know. Play as good as you want. And she was like, but that's not how like we're going to measure success. And like, even with goals, she was like, don't make it a goal to score. She was like, just make it a goal to have good passes, just small little things that were fully in my control.
What was it like playing with that brace?
Oh my gosh. In spring, I had a different brace than I had in the fall. And that brace was horrible. It would constantly slip down. And it was also a lot larger than my other one. It was the one that Layla had in the fall. And it just sucked. And then I got fitted by the same company for a more custom brace, which is also not my favorite, but at least that one stays on. And that one I honestly feel more protected in than the spring one.
Knowing that you were on track for this season, which of course ended up happening. How did you prepare over the summer months to get ready for the 2025 season?
So the summer was really stressful because at the end of spring, I had to get another knee surgery, just a cleanup surgery. So I didn't go into summer being fully healthy. I was still finishing some rehab. And then also another thing is my fitness was really bad and it still is not great, which I want to improve on in the off season. But I couldn't start the summer fitness packet until I'd finished my rehab. So I started around like week three or week four, which is obviously 3 or 4 weeks behind. And I literally just did it every single day. Like I did not take one day off that packet and then I would go train. And also I was trying to find the balance of not doing too much at the same time because Jonesy had a conversation with me and she was like, can I trust you? And I was like, yeah, what do you mean? And I was like, trust me to do the packet? Like I'm going to do the packet. And she was like, no. Can I trust you not to do too much? And, you know, this is my first time that I was away from them. And, you know, I don't want to show that I'm irresponsible and I'm going to go get hurt over summer. So I was very careful with like joining a summer team and the amount of recovery I was doing over summer. But yeah, this summer I definitely grinded. I did that packet every day.
I don't want to gloss over the third surgery, but what was that rehab process? What did that entail?
That was the best thing that's like happened to my knee. I don't know what exactly even how it happened, but basically I had calcified bone in my knee. Like it was so, yeah, it was literally so calcified that it showed up in an x-ray and it was in between my kneecap and it like hurt when I extended my knee in full extension. And then also I had a slight meniscus tear, which was really stressful because I was like, oh my gosh, that's 6 months. But I had a Dr. Leek here. And he's amazing. It was in 15 minutes. He took away all the knee pain I've ever had and he cleaned it up completely. And I think I was only on crutches for a week. And then in like 3 weeks, I was back to running.
Wow.
So yeah, he did some magic there.
Amazing. So the team reports back in the fall and it's an accelerated timeline from when you all get back to campus before the first match. So what was your focus? How were you looking to be ready to help the team?
This sounds like so silly, but because I said like my fitness was bad, I feel like I can't like not include this, but I was really excited for the fall, but I was so nervous for the very first day when we ran the beep test. So I couldn't even begin to think about games because I was like, I just have to make it past day one. And I previously had never passed the beep test before, like in the spring and when I had all these injuries. So coming back from summer after day one of like when I passed the beep test, I was like, oh my gosh, now I can like have fun and play soccer. But the beep test was a hump for sure.
I don't doubt that. That looks pretty intimidating having witnessed it.
Oh, you saw it?
I don't know if I saw yours this fall, but I've seen it many times across sports. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then after that, I was just so excited for games. Like I just wanted to kind of like just play my game. And like, I know that I was recruited and I can help this team. And like the system is like, I know I can work within Jonesy's system.
We're chatting with Ava Tybor on Triton Cast this week. So coming into the fall, what did you learn last season, not playing in matches, but being around the team? What did you learn about the game? Maybe it's either the program or the game collegiately that might have helped you this year.
Oh, I actually learned so much. Before, something that I was not very good at is in club, whenever they would pull out the whiteboard with like all the magnetic dots and a soccer ball, I would literally just like tune off. Like I didn't understand tactics at all. And then last year on the bench, I was like, I need to really take advantage of this and learn the game. And I learned so much about all the tactics, all the formations, like just the way, just how much space there is and like how much time people have on the ball that they don't realize because they're obviously in the moment of the game. And like how center backs pressure the forwards and like where there's pockets of space. I just remember being on the bench and watching all of this. And then also I think another thing I learned about the collegiate level is that everyone's good. And so there's never really like weak links or weak players. I mean, there's like players that you can kind of expose in certain areas, but that's another thing is every team is good on any given day. If you don't go show up, there's never like an easy win, especially not in the Big West. Like every team's in it.
So after Grand Canyon, the season starts and you take on Cal and you scored just 4 minutes into the match. What was that like?
Oh my gosh, that was such a crazy feeling. Like, it didn't even feel real when I scored. And then when I scored again in the second half, I was like, oh my gosh, like, how is this happening? I would say, like, it was so nice to come out and have this initial success, but I would say it kind of put a target on my back early in the season, because then after that, I just felt like I was being pressed so much differently than the first two games or the first three games.
Were you, when that started to happen, right? Because you'd scored those four goals so quickly in the season. Did you get frustrated out there?
Maybe a little bit, because I felt like I wasn't really doing anything differently. So I was like, why am I not having the same success? But I think it was just the way I was being pressured. Like, I felt a lot of pressure from covering defensive mids, which I felt like I hadn't really experienced in the previous three games. So, yeah.
And how did you kind of adjust to the other team's adjustments?
Well, that's the thing, is like, when if another player does step to me, it does mean that someone else is open. So as a team, just recognizing, like, you know, okay, then who else is open? And like, when we were able to get our 10s, like Lindsay and Lex on the ball, it opened up my game a lot. And I would say that, like, my teammates were so crucial to my success. Like, when I score, it's because the entire team has to do something right, and the entire team is working together.
What was your favorite moment or two from this season?
My favorite moment, that's so hard. Let me think. I think my favorite moment was when Lex scored at our last home game against UC Santa Barbara. Because they were the number one seed coming into that game, and we beat them, so they bumped down to fifth, and they lost their bye week. They lost hosting the tournament, and it felt good. It felt like this is kind of what we deserved all season, because all season there was kind of a talk of, like, we're right there, and then that game we just proved, yeah, we can beat the best team. And also doing it for our seniors meant a lot.
What will you miss most about that group that just graduated and will be leaving?
I'm going to miss just, like, their humor. Like, I'm sure you've met Rocco, but, like, Rocco and that whole class is just so funny. It's, like, it's so different. Like, we had our first lift and we had our first conditioning session without them, and it just felt so quiet. And I know that'll change, but it literally felt like half of our team is gone, even though it's only eight of them. Like, it felt like we have no team.
Let's chat about your life outside of soccer at UC San Diego, business economics major. Why that major, and what might you want to do in a few years when you're done here?
Well, one thing that I did know is that I'm not a very STEM or a math person. So, business econ is like a really broad degree. Like, I know that I can go to business school, I can go to consulting, marketing, accounting. I'm not exactly sure what I want to do. Like, one thing that I've learned is, like, as I'm learning more at this school, I'm, like, changing so much. Like, I've taken different classes here and I'm like, wow, that's interesting, or wow, that's interesting. I do know that I want to do real estate investment on the side. I have some family friends that have a real estate investment portfolio and they do really well for themselves. So something like that. I know I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm just not sure exactly what type that I want to do.
This may be unfair because you've still got multiple years of soccer here remaining, but
yeah, 3 years of eligibility.
Will you stay involved with the sport, or do you intend to?
For sure. Like, of course I would love to play soccer after college, but even if that doesn't present itself, like, I know I want to stay in the community, like, whether that's training girls or coaching, like, local teams, I definitely want to stay involved.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about the training. Is that something you've been involved with already?
Yes. When I go home, I haven't really developed, like, a client base here in San Diego, and it's a little bit hard, like, when we're in season, and last year I was injured. Maybe that's something I'm going to do more, like, in the winter and spring quarter. But when I go home from breaks, I have a little group that I always train, like, whether it's individually or in a group setting.
Might that lead to coaching at some point?
Yeah, I don't think I want to do, like, coaching full time, but I would love to, like, coach or host. Like, one thing that I did at home last year that was really fun is I hosted a futsal session just on a basketball court, and I would just invite a lot of girls out, in just for like 2 hours, and it was just play. And I would hop in there, and some of like my friends that were my age that were back home for the summer would hop in with the younger girls. It was really fun.
Super cool. And how do you get that word out?
Well, it's really nice, like when I play, because I played at my club team. So like, and my high school coach, he coaches a younger 2013, 2014 age year. So he would just tell his whole team, and then they'd have their friends. It was literally just word of mouth.
That is super cool. So you mentioned to me before we started recording that you're a SoCal girl at heart. I take it this is where you want to be long term.
Yes, for sure. I love it here. Like the weather, like saying it's great is an understatement. It's so nice. Like even in October, you can just go to the beach and play soccer on the beach, go in the water.
And bringing it back to your time as a Triton on playing soccer, having your family be able to see you play, what does that support mean to you?
That means so much. I love when my dad and my grandpa, my mom, usually it's those three that come to my game. Like I get really sad when they have to watch on the broadcast, and like some of our games at other schools weren't broadcasted. I was so sad. It felt like I wasn't playing for something. So even though it's like a little bit of a drive, it's not bad at all. And I love having my family here.
Well, and plus being in the Big West, at least for one more season, right? Like most of our conference matches aren't that far, and they might even be closer to home than we are.
Exactly. Like CSUN's 20 minutes, and there's a lot of other schools that are close. Like even Santa Barbara is not far. The farthest team was Hawaii, and my parents even came to that because it's amazing. Hawaii.
Absolutely. What was that trip like?
That was my favorite trip by far. Well, that trip was really good because we did really well on the road. Like Davis and Hawaii maybe aren't necessarily the hardest teams, but on the road, it just makes everything so much harder. And my favorite part about that trip is we got vans. So like usually we get like a bus, and the bus is nice because we're all together on the bus, but like some people do homework or sleep. But with the vans, we like split up into like five or six, and then the coaches and like Taylor and Jill drive them. And it's like four or five in the car, and it's just so fun. Like we just blast karaoke. We just talk the whole time. Like nobody's checked out. Nobody's on their phone. So you get close to all your teammates.
Whose playlist was it in your van?
It was mine, actually, which does a lot of pressure. I was like trying to get other people to join it, but you low-key don't want to be the phone that's connected because these aren't short drives either. Like we did it for Colorado too, and it's like a 3-hour drive. And yeah, so I was under pressure for sure.
Did you agonize over what to include, or did you pick something you already had put together?
Yes. Well, then I would be like, guys, any song requests? They'd be like, nah, you got it. And I'd be like, guys, come on, help me out a little bit. And like we listened to podcasts. We talked about like true crime a lot. I think we watched a true crime podcast in the car. We would just do random things. Like in Hawaii, we listened to like the Moana soundtrack, stuff like that.
One thing I wanted to ask you before we get into quick picks is about time management. And so for you, what works? How do you stay organized and keep on top of everything you have to be responsible for?
I would say for time management in the fall, it's honestly not that bad because I try to pick a really easy schedule, and Jenny, our academic counselor, helps me with that. So I only have 3 classes right now, but I really like that our practice is in the morning. So right after practice, I'll try to not just lounge around because it's really easy to just go home and just sit on the couch. But I just try to shower. And then once I shower, I try to get my homework out so that the rest of the day I have free. And also I'd hate staying up late, and I would hate to stay up late to study. That would be like my least favorite combination of things to do. So I try to knock everything out right after practice.
From a mental standpoint, in terms of like disconnecting or getting away, what works for you? How do you get away from whether it's soccer or school or whatever other stressors you might have?
I love walking. I had a scooter, and my scooter is no longer with me right now, and I was really bummed about that. But then I started walking a lot recently, and like even walking to practice in the morning, which is early, but like when I walk and I just listen to my music, I just get so, I kind of stop thinking about a lot of things, and it's really nice. And like, yeah, I'm forced to walk everywhere now because I don't have my scooter, but it honestly is like a little blessing in disguise. And it gets you to like realize things that you never really realized before, like especially about the campus even. Like I thought I knew the campus well, and then I'm like walking different places. I'm like, wow, I never knew this was here. Or like, you also don't really look up when you're on a scooter. And I know that's such like a niche athlete thing, but it's nice to walk.
So Big West Freshman of the Year, what did that honor mean to you? And were you surprised?
I was surprised and it meant a lot to me. And I'm like super grateful for the award, but a part of me felt a little bit undeserving of it. And especially with like my other awards, like when I got the Freshman of the Week or just like Athlete of the Week, I felt a little bit bad because I know that my position's very result oriented and fall is very result oriented. But like, for example, like I think the Irvine game was a really good example. I wasn't really playing well. And then I remember Allie was being super aggressive and she went in to like go take a shot. And I just kind of got like a rebound, like right to my feet, like 5 yards away from the goal. And I was, you know, I was just there to finish the rebound. And, you know, I got Athlete of the Week and I just like couldn't help but think like, you know, my center backs, they play 90 minutes and like our six, she plays the whole game. And like Charlotte had some really good saves that game that kept us in it. And like, I feel like they didn't get a lot of like recognition. And I know that it's super result oriented, like in my position, that's all that matters. Like I could have a horrible game as long as I score. But my teammates were like, I'm not anything without my teammates. So I just feel sometimes bad for them that when they're in positions that don't get recognized as much.
Yeah, but Freshman of the Year is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm super grateful. I was very surprised. I was not expecting that for sure.
You also set a new Triton record for a goal scored in a season since the program's moved to Division I, which of course is a small sample size, but still, if a year ago right now we said you're going to score more goals than any other Triton ever has in a Division I season, would you believe that?
No, definitely not. Definitely not for my first year back, but I can tell you right now that my goal next year is going to be to break it.
Amazing. All right, Ava, you ready for some quick picks?
Yes, let's do it.
Favorite food?
Mac and cheese.
Favorite topping on a pizza?
Pineapple.
Indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors. Like indoor, outdoor soccer?
No, just life.
Outdoors for sure.
All right. Soccer. Is it different?
Indoor soccer is kind of fun, but it's all, yeah.
Ocean or pool?
Ocean.
Beach or mountains?
Beach for sure.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset. I don't like waking up early.
But you appreciate it once you're already up.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Okay. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
What's one thing about you that would surprise even your friends?
I kind of have like a nerdy side. I don't know. Like growing up, I like did all the nerdy like games and like Minecraft and Roblox and like Five Nights at Freddy's. And like, I'm kind of a big theater nerd, which is like random, but I feel like they wouldn't know that because I don't show that at all.
Well, no, now. Singing or dancing?
Dancing.
Reading or writing?
Oh, I need a third option. Reading?
Shopping in-store or online?
In-store. Online, like you get stuff and then it just comes and it just never fits. And then it's such a hassle to send back.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Creamy.
Coffee or tea?
I don't really drink either, but I would say tea.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Rocky Road.
Cup or cone?
Cup. You get more.
Which one of your teammates thinks they're the funniest?
Some people I feel like just know they're funny. Like Rocco and Carice, they're both so funny. And I think like they would have to agree that they're funny too. So I would say those two.
Who's the best cook?
Ooh, Molly made the best grilled cheese I've ever had in my entire life. Like 2 days ago. Molly.
Wow.
Even though grilled cheese is not really a state of the art thing to make, but.
Yeah, but when it's done well.
And it's kind of a hard thing to get right, too. So,
yeah, give her props for that. That's a sneaky challenge. That's impressive. One place you've never been where you most want to visit?
Well, actually, the first time I ever went out of the country was with the team when we went to Costa Rica last year. So, I'd say Spain.
Okay. Favorite type of music?
Pop or rap music?
Phone calls or texts?
Phone calls for sure.
Realist or dreamer?
Oh, somewhere in the middle.
Podcasts or playlists?
Playlist.
French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
Waffles with syrup.
If you could play one other sport as a Triton, what would you play?
Am I good at the sport?
Yeah, assuming you'd be competitively good, sure.
Volleyball, for sure. I wish I was a volleyball girl. I see them all the time as fan outs, so I'm like, oh, I wish I was tall.
Would you have a different answer if you didn't have to be good at it or if you weren't going to be good at it?
Yeah, like if I wasn't good, I feel like if you're not good at volleyball, you stand out so much. Like it's only five players on the court. So I would try to play a sport where I could fit in if I was bad.
Got it. Movies or books?
Oh, movies.
Fair enough. Ava, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
It was great spending some time hearing Ava's story. That was so inspiring. Can't wait to see what she has in store for an encore on the pitch in 2026. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. Thank you for listening this week. And don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 122 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.